Rosemary for Remembrance by Yunitsa. Read by the Dragon Girl for ITBE 2016 for Marianis. While flying back to Peking, Lawrence has time to consider the nature of memory. Spoilers for Blood of Tyrants. At times their conversations, as they stopped for the night during the long journey back to Peking, had some of the easy rapport they had achieved while travelling companions on the Allegiance. They acquired a chessboard of the Chinese style, and played together, with Tharke dictating his moves aloud, and winning handily each time, with more frustration at Lawrence's lack of progress than triumph. Yet he also shut his eyes often, too weary to be polite, drifting into an uneasy, fitful sleep. At those times, Lawrence would find something to do, polishing his sword or writing reports, but in truth more occupied with his own reflections. His memory was returning more easily now, like reaching into a well-packed sea chest and finding everything to hand, not the sudden lightning strike he had experienced in the cavern. It was this most recent memory that troubled him most, and he would spend a long time sitting at his desk with the candle guttering, trying to make sense of it. He had told Tharke of all that had happened since their last parting, piecing the events together himself as he spoke, and ending with his own shipwreck and subsequent state. "It is a strange business," Tharke agreed. "But I suppose it was being knocked on the head a second time that broke things loose again. I must be glad of it. I fear I should not have got on as well with Captain Lawrence of the Royal Navy." But inwardly, Lawrence was doubtful. Of course, he had been slashed across the skull, and later hit again during the fighting in the tunnel. But memory had not truly returned until he had seen Tharke, lying bloody and broken in that cell, and grieved for it, as Captain Lawrence of the Royal Navy would not have grieved. He did not know how to tell Tharke, without giving mortification to them both, that this was the second time he had brought Lawrence to a recollection of himself. Often, he would find himself watching the fading bruises on Tharke's face as he slept, the rapid movement of his eyes under the lids, his bandaged and splinted hands curled loosely on his chest. He did not know what name to put to his emotions, unless it was the same helpless rage he had felt watching the soldiers hack at Temeraire's backbone. The combination of valour and suffering he could not ease made him ache with sympathetic pain. Even if he had been in full possession of his faculties, Lawrence thought, he would have been taken aback by the strength of his feelings. It was not only that he had not remembered until he walked into that torchlit room. He had not known. Tharke would startle awake at several times during the night. Nothing so obvious as thrashing or a scream, but his body would stiffen, and his eyes fly open, unseeing and glassy. Lawrence would help him to whine, the only palliative he would accept, in silence. The words that came to his lips at such moments were foolish endearments, such as he might use to Temeraire, and he bit them back. Sometimes he would venture only to speak Tharke's name, and a reminder of where he was, safe. But his hands lingered, despite himself, on Tharke's shoulders. It was hard to know where to touch that would not cause further pain, his eyes mapping paths he did not dare follow. He did not sleep much himself as a consequence, half-napping through the day's flight. He could not tell, at all, what he ought to do about it. Surely nothing with honour. It was one thing to turn a blind eye to Granby and Little's relations, as he now remembered to do. Quite another to find his own feelings thus engaged. Perhaps they would fade, with the last of the brain fever. But even as he had the thought, he could not believe it. 3 days from Peking, he returned from an evening conversation with Temeraire to find Tharke sitting up, attempting to eat a bowl of porridge. Ever since the first signs of convalescence, he had displayed a stubborn independence of spirit, though his hands were still nearly useless. The fingers had been broken one by one, some more than once. Lawrence did not like to think what else. Thake had not spoken of it, but his wounds and the nightmares were evidence enough. "Will?" he said questioningly, glancing up as Lawrence paused by the door. He did not know what his own face showed just then, but it was enough to make Thake look more closely in surprise.
"You mustn't let me disturb you,"
Lawrence said, turning to go, though he hadn't the least idea where. But Thake spoke his name again, making him stop.
"I am very grateful to be alive, you know,"
Thake added, low, looking down at the bowl. 5 years ago, perhaps, I might not have been. But I am grateful now. The rest is inconvenience." His matter-of-fact tone made Lawrence colour in confusion.
"I would not wish you to think," he managed to say, "that any motivation of pity. You have saved me more than once, and the gratitude, then as now, is all on my side."
Thake set the half-finished porridge down, his eyes gleaming bright in the candlelight.
"Shall we have a game of chess?" he asked. "Gladly," Lawrence said,
relieved by the change of subject. But when he had fetched the board and moved to set it up by the camp bed, Thake stopped him with a touch on his shoulder. He did not speak, only looked fond and rueful.
But it was enough for Lawrence to know that his secret had been guessed, that he had been seen through yet again,
as though his soul was crystal, and not the marred and bruised thing he knew it to be. A moment went by in painful impasse, and then Thake, ever the braver, said,
"Yes. Yes, of course, if you like. If it isn't pity."
Lawrence hesitated once more. The man he had thought himself to be, only short weeks before, would have considered any such action entirely against his character. If he had ever contemplated it, it would have been only from the deepest despair, a willingness to be hanged for a sodomite if not as a traitor. But it was not despair, nor pity, that made him leap up now and press his mouth to Tharke's, careful of his injuries and drawn to his living warmth. There was passion in the kiss, on both sides, but given the circumstances, no immediate urgency of desire. Lawrence was grateful, for he would have had only the vaguest conception of how to satisfy it. But he knelt by the bed and indulged himself for some time, as gentle as he could be without giving offence. Thake hissed in frustration at being unable to hold him in turn, but when he sank back on the pillow at last, he was smiling. And when he slept through that night without dreams, Lawrence considered a small part of his debt repaid. A drop in the ocean, which he was determined to continue repaying, as long as thought and memory were left to him, and fate would allow. The End.